good morning, everybody. Our big three headlines this morning. Tiger Woods was in a car crash yesterday in Los Angeles, driving to do some sort of a publicity thing and just went off the road. The car flipped over. He's not in any danger of dying, thank God, but his legs have got to have pins in them. He went underwent surgery yesterday, and I don't know, Len, do you think he can really bounce back from this and play again? Or, I mean, it's a little too early to tell, but
let's just say, if anyone can, it would be he. But, you know, after five back surgeries with pins and rods in his leg, I think he should be concerned with just being able to walk normally again. I don't know how he could walk four rounds of golf. It's going to be a very long time. And he's 45 years old. So I think it's going to be a long road for him. It really will.
It is kind of sad, though. I mean, I remember when he came on the scene, just the way he played that game. I mean, he played it brilliantly in a physical way, but also, I think, brilliantly, you know, in a mind way. Nothing
ever
shook his mind. That was an
amazing thing
that
he said. A lot of golfers said that the strongest thing about his game was his mind. I mean, he conceived shots and the angles and things that nobody else has thought of. So, no, he was very, very, very special. He's also a troubled guy and wasn't what he was or wasn't what he appeared to be. And he had an awful fall from grace. And this is just the latest in a long chapter. We're going to have Christine Brennan on later this morning. She's the outstanding USA Today columnist. She'll join us at 9:35. And interested to get her perspective on the future of Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. Also in the big three, Cuomo, Governor Andrew Cuomo, I am pleased to say, is sinking in the polls because of his bullying, his attack on Ron Kim, who we just had on the show. And God, I love Ron Kim. I mean, I think he should be the next governor. I mean, he is the one, Joe, you know this about Cuomo. He blew the whistle on the bullying, the awful tactics of this governor. And you and I have known this for years, right? Everybody knew that Cuomo was a bully. But Ron Kim has just ripped the lid off this thing. Brilliant for Ron Kim.
It remains to be seen how many people are going to come to Kim's defense. So you don't have to choose sides here. You're a political creature. Who do you side with, Ron Kim or Cuomo? Most people are going to go with Cuomo.
Right. Well, we'll see. Also in the big three, and he's with us right now, Andrew Yang. He is running for the mayor of New York City. He tried to run for the presidency, didn't get too far there, but that's okay. So Andrew Yang is now trying to be the mayor of New York City. He joins us on the line. Welcome to the program, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. It's great to be here. And I will have you know, I made it a hell of a lot further than our current mayor.
Well, there you go. Well, see, this guy's good. You got my vote.
We love Andrew. So, Andrew, I have to ask you, we just had Ron Kim on, and I mean, the stuff that Andrew Cuomo said to him, I will destroy you, you haven't yet felt my wrath. We know that the current mayor has this up-and-down relationship with the governor. Are you in favor, as Ron Kim is, of impeaching Andrew Cuomo?
No, I've come out in favor of an investigation. I think that is the next step that most New Yorkers want to see, and you know, like the facts will come out and then we can see for ourselves, if further actions would be appropriate.
I'll tell you why I like this guy, Michael. Earlier this morning, he followed me on Twitter. Now, I don't know if that was you, Andrew, or just a very clever staff member of yours, but right. I appreciate that. And now I'm the Yang gang. He follows me. So Andrew, you brought up the current mayor. And as I've said many times on the show, no one ever walks up to you and says, hey, that de Blasio is doing a hell of a job. It just doesn't happen. You don't hear it from people. What is it about Andrew Yang that you think will make a great mayor of New York City?
Well, first, Len, let me tell you, I grew up watching you on the sports shows and the highlights, and that was me following you on Twitter.
Wow. Well, thank you. Okay, it's at Len Berman Sports. You know, do like Andrew Yang. I can get a lot of followers out of this. This is good.
Andrew, I'm going to save you some time. Len does not live in New York City, so he can't vote for you. Okay, you don't have to flatter him. Please, give me a break here. All right?
Well, I know a lot of New Yorkers are listening to you all every morning. And the difference between me and the current mayor is I've run a company here in New York City. And when you run a small business in New York City, people just want results. They don't care that much about certainly your politics. They don't want any excuses. They just want the services that they paid for as promised. And that's where a lot of New Yorkers are right now. We're fed up with the fact that a lot of our bureaucracies and systems have been underperforming, everything from the vaccine to our schools being closed to the fact that so many New Yorkers right now are just trying to make it. And I talk to small business owners who say that the city hasn't reached out to them except just to make sure they're complying with various regs. So I'd have a very, very different approach to this set of issues, a very different approach than the current mayor, that's for sure.
Andrew, you have this big thing that you were flogging when you were running for the presidency about a guaranteed income. And I noticed that you, you know, you want a guaranteed income from New Yorkers. Listen, I'm a New Yorker. I live in the West Village. My taxes are way too high. Are you going to raise my taxes to give guaranteed incomes, or are you just going to do this and drive me out of the city?
Well, first, I think most people know that I ran for president on universal basic income. And now what started out as kind of a far out idea is something that the majority of Americans are for. 85% of Americans are for cash relief during the pandemic. But as mayor of New York, you know, it's a very, very different operating landscape. So what we're going to do is we're going to invest resources keeping people out of extreme poverty. And that's going to benefit all New Yorkers, because the fact is when someone hits our shelter system, we're spending upwards of $6,000 a month per family in that system. If we spend a fraction of that keeping people in better circumstances, it pays off for everybody. One other thing I'm committing to is reducing street homelessness by more than 50% in my first term, because we can see that's bad on a human level, an economic level, and a public safety level. That's the smart way to invest the city's resources.
But Andrew, with Andrew Yang's running for mayor, so Andrew, how are you going to do that? I mean, it's easy to say you're going to reduce homelessness by 50%. I mean, this has been a thorny problem for a lot of mayors. How are you going to pull that off?
Well, guys, like, we've lived in New York for a long time, and we know the problem is much worse now than it has been in the past. So I've talked to folks who are doing the work on the ground, and they say, and I know this is right, if we invest in expanding the capacity of safe haven beds, supportive housing, mental health resources, substance abuse resources, and have higher assertion on intervening when someone's on the street and clearly could use some form of attention, we can get homelessness down over 50% just by putting our resources into it. And it's been done before. I mean, we've seen it rise and fall and rise again in New York City. A lot of it is leadership. A lot of it is investment. And a lot of it is not accepting that New Yorkers should be on the street.
You know, Andrew, you got to talk to our friend Bill Bratton, who was on yesterday, and he's with you on this. He said, you know, the mental health issue is really what's causing this spike in crime and homelessness, and the government has not been able to figure out how to handle these people. And, you know, we don't want to vilify them because they've got these mental issues, but you're absolutely 100% right on that. We've got to figure out a way to take care of these people, to get them off the streets in a safe way. Andrew, so we're facing a huge, colossal deficit here going through the pandemic. How do you get us out of this financial hole that we're in?
Yeah, it's red ink as far as the eye can see. We should not have any illusions about it. The first step, though, and we're already seeing this, is getting our fair share from the feds. New York City sends $20 billion plus per year more to the government than it's been getting back for years, and it's payback time. And I know Chuck Schumer is doing some incredible work as our new Senate Majority Leader. But we can make the case, and I will make this case very clearly and powerfully, there is no national recovery without a New York City recovery. We are almost 10% of the national of the national economy. We are the financial center, the commercial center, the cultural center, the number one tourist destination. Investing in New York City is imperative for a national recovery. And I'm friends with the president, the vice president. Like, I can make these, I'm going to have a better chance at activating resources that New York City needs and deserves more to a much higher level than any of the other candidates.
Hey, Andrew, before we run, we're on with Andrew Yang, who's running for mayor. You know, the last poll that came out, you were the front runner by far, which is good and bad news, because at this stage of the race, I mean, there's no place to go but down. How are you handling your front runner status, and can you keep it up?
Well, thanks for noticing. You know, I'm doing well in the polls because New Yorkers can sense that I want to solve the problems that we see around us every day. I'm here to help. I can get us out of this crisis faster. That's why I'm running for mayor. And I got to say, I'm enjoying being the front runner here in New York much more than being, you know, one of the scrappy underdog candidates in the presidential.
Don't blame you.
All right, we've got to run. Andrew, but you strike me as more of a Bloomberg type guy, just, you know, fix the problems, as opposed to de Blasio, who's all about ideology, which has ruined the city.
I am a data-driven, pragmatic, solutions-oriented person, and that's what I believe New York wants in its next mayor.
All right, Andrew, will you come back on the
program? And that's why he followed me on Twitter. He's a bright guy.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right,
Andrew.
Everyone else should follow him, too. Len's a good follow.
Thanks, pal. Oh, I like this guy. I'm going to move to New York just to vote for him.
Right. Andrew, you're coming back on the program, I hope. Okay, take care. Andrew Yang running for mayor. He is the front runner. Coming up next, the fans are back. Do they feel comfortable, though, getting together to see a sports event? Alice Stockton Rossini, our Cracker Jack reporter, she's getting reaction from the fans if they feel comfortable going back to the arenas. Coming up next.
Hey, Natalie, before the news, Michael was mentioning his fiance and choked on the word fiance, so he quickly changed it to girlfriend. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that. Got an interesting email from a listener, Michael. It says, Mike chokes on the word fiance so much he should have Dr. Heimlich perform the ceremony. I think that's a great idea.
Well, actually, Dr. Heimlich has agreed to be my best man at the wedding, so there we are.
There you go. All right. That was good. Hey, let's go to Alice Stockton Rossini. As you know, the New York sports teams can now have fans in the stands in New York City. The Knicks and Nets, they both had fans last night, up to a couple of thousand. They have to come with proof of a negative COVID test. We have Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene. And Alice, it's more than just the fans. A lot of other people have an interest in fans showing up.
Hey, yeah, the businesses, the bars, the restaurants, the stores that have been starving for anybody to come walk through their doors anytime. Yeah, they're really excited about this. Now, Barclays is taking it slow. They only had about 300 fans last night. Madison Square Garden had about 2,000, mainly season ticket holders. And after the All-Star break, we'll see about 1,800 fans streaming into Barclays. And, you know, fans are ready to roll.
Good news! It's awesome news. It's awesome news, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited to just be able to go to a game and sit down and enjoy it instead of putting it on the TV and yelling at the TV.
So by the time we have some time in Norman, you know, hopefully soon we have all the fans in the building. It'll be great.
Hopefully if I get tickets and I'll come by and see them. Yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready to go to a game.
Yeah, without a doubt. It'll be great. It'll be great to see all three of them playing.
That's, you know, it's funny, just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to people and they were like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready yet, but I think with spring coming and all the snow we've had, people just want to get out. Now, Barclays is the only arena in the U.S. that's offering a free rapid test. You go into a heated tent, you wait for the results, you fill out a questionnaire, you sign a waiver, you get a temp check, and when the results come back negative, you can go in with a mask. There's three seating areas, socially distanced, pods of up to four people at Madison Square Garden, pods of up to two people, and you order food with a QR code on your phone, and then it's delivered. Now, Nets fans are particularly excited, considering their team won last night, and their team has been doing so well, and that's just good news for Brooklyn.
I'm a big fan of Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie. To see them all on the same team is very impressive. I'm honestly shocked that the Nets are even able to pull off a trade like that as an organization. The fact that we're able to have such superstars in our city will bring a multitude of people, and we have places like Shake Shack, Chick-fil-A, all those places. Like, Barclays is the main attraction within Brooklyn. And the superstars we have, they're what make it the main attraction, you know what I'm trying to say? So it'll be good for businesses all around Barclays, in my opinion.
And, of course, Alice, as Michael knows, the last time the borough of Brooklyn won a world championship was when, Michael?
Oh, I think it was with the Dodgers, right? The Brooklyn Dodgers?
There you go. Brooklyn Dodgers, 1955. How good is Michael?
Thank you. Thank you. I've learned.
He's amazing.
I've learned from the master.
He's an amazing guy. Yeah. Let me just... Local bars and restaurants, big and small, are, you know, really anxious to rebound from this whole pandemic.
I'm definitely excited. Yeah. Do a lot of people come here before the game? Yes, before, after, during, you know, we still get a lot of intermission. During all that time, we still get a lot of people, you know, a lot of Nets fans, a lot of raving fans just coming in, you know. People just checking the area out after the game, or just people, you know, just wanting to know the area.
So it's going to contribute a lot, just bringing back life and energy just in this neighborhood in general. A lot of people are already happy that that we're back open and, you know, you can socialize. And
does it feel like maybe we're coming back to normal?
Not quite yet for me, just because certain things like dining, and they're not quite there yet. But, you know, this is a small step that, you know, it's still the biggest step that we could take.
Well, people upbeat. You know, that's good. Nice to hear people positive for a change around here.
I'm telling you, you know, it was like pulling teeth there for a while. But now, you know, people are really feeling it. We go up to, what, 35% dining on Friday. So that's going to be good. And, you know, it's got to get better. You know, it's just got to get better. And just seeing these arenas open again just gives people the feeling like maybe we're inching our way back to normal. And look, we've got weddings up to 150 in New York State, right? We've got outdoor gatherings can be larger now. I think we're over 50. I mean, it's all good. It's all good, guys.
Yeah, Michael's particularly excited about the larger wedding capacity now.
Yes. I can't wait. That's going to be such a fun time.
That's going to be a party. No, that's going to be a party.
No.
Will he be able to say wife? If you can't say fiance, can you say wife?
Stay tuned.
I can say divorcee.
Great. That's really good. Hey, Alice, talk to you tomorrow, kid. Thanks a lot. Good stuff.
Okay, guys.
Bye, Alice. Bye. Take care.
All right, let's get the latest news at 9:30 with an update on the market. Here's Joe Bartlett. Hey, Joe.
All right, Lynn. Well, things could get even better around here. Two massive vaccination sites opening today at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn and York College in Queens. Both are by appointment only and are for people who live in Crown Heights in Jamaica. The idea is to target areas where the vaccination rate is lower than the rest of the city. The goal is to vaccinate 3,000 people every day. Tiger Woods recovering from serious leg injuries after a rollover car wreck in Los Angeles. His right leg had to be stabilized with a rod inserted into the tibia. The sheriff, Alex Villanueva, says the SUV rolled downhill multiple times before it came to a stop.
So the time it made, it crossed the center divider to the point that it rested was several hundred feet away. So obviously that indicates they were going at a relatively a greater speed than normal.
Yeah, high rate of speed, no skid marks either. And this morning, Tiger said to be awake and alert. No charges against seven Rochester police officers involved in the death of Daniel Prude. Attorney General Letitia James says Prude died after being physically restrained by the officers and having a spit bag put on his head.
We presented the strongest case possible, but today the grand jury decided not to indict any police officer on charges related to Daniel Prude's death.
Prude was experiencing some kind of mental health episode when he was restrained by police. He died 7 days later. The medical examiner ruled his death a homicide. New Jersey's attorney general has told authorities stop arresting people for low-level marijuana crimes, also telling prosecutors drop any pending cases immediately. So the governor has signed legislation making marijuana legal in New Jersey. Now, you can't buy it legally, but apparently you're not going to be arrested if you have some of it. And speaking of intoxication, Bruce Springsteen makes an initial court appearance today after being arrested back in November on a DWI charge. Reports say his blood alcohol level was 0.02, well below the 0.08 limit in New Jersey. Park Rangers says at Sandy Hook, he stopped Springsteen after seeing him take a shot of tequila along with some fans. He took Springsteen into custody because he started to ride away on his motorcycle. And there is a bidding war underway for an 80-acre cattle ranch in rural Nevada. This is a piece of property that's apparently pretty attractive, even though it's like in no man's land, because it overlooks Area 51 and is home to the most photographed mailbox in the world. Alien enthusiasts flock to State Route 375, which is nicknamed Extraterrestrial Highway, to see this black mailbox at the opening of this cattle ranch here. Some conspiracy theorists believe the mailbox is linked to Area 51. They say there's also an unusually high number of UFO sightings in the sky above that particular mailbox.
So you say that there's a bidding war for this property?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the numbers are at the moment. No.
Okay.
Well, would you bet on it, Len? Because a mailbox is very important in your life. Would you like to own that mailbox?
You know what? I don't know.
Do I have to walk to it? I mean, that's a schlep, baby.
It's a bit long there in New Mexico.
It is an important life mile marker for you, isn't it there, Len, the old mailbox?
Do the stocks, Joe.
All right. Yeah, the stocks are low.
So the big news this morning is that yesterday Tiger Woods in L.A. drove off the road, tumbled his SUV in the hospital, has surgery on his legs, pins in his legs. Just a kind of crazy story that we have not gotten to the bottom of yet. Why was he driving himself, you'd think, Len? I mean, someone like Tiger Woods could be picked up by a chauffeur in a limousine to take him to the photo shoot that he was going to do for Golf Digest. A
lot of unanswered questions here. Exactly what happened.
Yeah, totally. So we want to check in with Christine Brennan. She's the national sports columnist for USA Today, commentator for CNN, and a best-selling author. Good morning, Christine. How are you doing?
Well, I'm great, Michael and Len. Great to be with you. How are you guys doing?
So, Christine, I'm sure you're working the phones, doing some reporting here. I mean, what are you picking up on why Tiger was driving that car by himself early in the morning, and what happened?
Michael, as you alluded to, he had a photo shoot. It was a two-day shoot with Golf Digest. He did Monday. Dwayne Wade was part of that. I think people have seen the social media posts from Dwayne Wade about it. And then he was doing part two on Tuesday. And so, as I understand it, he was driving there on his own early. He had one of the corporate cars, the sponsor cars for the week of the golf tournament, the Genesis tournament in L.A., over the last week. So it sounds like to me he just kept his car and said, hey, I'll drive myself. And that's not entirely unusual. I agree with you guys completely. A Tiger, of course, could have a limo, have a driver. These kinds of things, you do get picked up. I'm sure, you know, we've all done stuff. They send a driver. That's lovely, and it's a wonderful perk of doing social events or speeches or what have you. So he could have done that, but it's certainly a characteristic of Tiger. Drive his own car. Often you'll see him driving his car into a golf tournament, the Masters, whatever, you know, going back and popping the trunk, and the caddy meets him and takes the clubs. And so Tiger, that's not unusual for Tiger to do that. And because he'd been there the day before, now he's driving again the next day. So I agree there are many, many unanswered questions, but my guess is it's just Tiger being Tiger, wanting to drive himself. And obviously, he clearly sounds like he was involved with the police, and he's lucky, thankfully, he wore a seatbelt, and certainly lucky, as the authorities have said, to be alive, even though he has some very severe injuries with his right leg.
Well, Christine, it could be as simple as he was speeding, but the problem is there were no skid marks. Did he fall asleep? Was it painkillers for his fifth back surgery? And there are a lot of possibilities here. Do you think we'll ever get the answer?
I do, and I think we'll get the answer, just because these things have a way of coming out. The interest in this, as you guys know and your listeners know, is so intense right now. I mean, I have been talking nonstop. I'm sick of it myself. I'm sick of hearing myself with my work with CNN and ABC, and, of course, honored to be on with you guys. Nellie did a great job of getting in touch with me, so thanks to her for making this work. I love being on with you guys. And so we will know because everyone, you know, is on this, and the tabloids are on it, and you know, obviously mainstream media. So it's a very, very big deal because Tiger is such an important, you know, sports icon and has really transcended golf and become a part of our culture. And so I think we'll know. You bring up a great point about pills, you know, the 2017 incident, the DUI in Florida. People might remember the mugshot, really harrowing dash cam with him unable to complete the sobriety test. Well, that was painkillers. And so the question obviously is, Tiger's had a lot of pain, a lot of surgeries, back issues, leg injuries prior to this. So that will be a question. I've got to believe that they will do toxicology tests on the blood and his urine and be able to tell us about that, because that is certainly a key question that is out there.
So, Christine, you've thought a lot about Tiger, and I don't mean to make you into a psychologist here, but you think of this guy on the golf course, okay, and he just calculates everything. He's always cool under pressure. You never see him break a sweat. But apparently underneath all that is this turbulent life going on. I mean, he's got himself in so much trouble. Why do you think that is? What's in his past that he's, you know, been able to clamp down when he's on the golf course, but he can't control in his private life?
You know, it's he's always talked about being a risk taker and really living on the edge. And, you know, he did that on the golf course for many years. He's certainly played smarter, older guy golf the last few years, and it worked well at the 2019 Masters that I covered. I was there when he won that. That's an improbable victory and a comeback for him. But he is that kind of guy. You know, he was training with the Navy SEALs for a while. He, obviously, the 2009 scandal was extraordinary. I mean, he just absolutely decimated his family life and his image. And we heard about, I don't even know how many mistresses. You know, I lost track. And it was tabloid, and it was trashy, and it was, you know, X-rated. But it was Tiger. And he, it was all self-inflicted. He did that to himself. And his image took a big hit from that. So, you know, Tiger as this guy on the edge, Tiger, risk-taker, gambler, that has been the key to success for Tiger. You're right. He's able then to focus on the golf course and do a wonderful job of honing in, but that's that laser, you know, kind of focus that a lot of athletes have. And then his outside life was crazy for a while. The question is it still, you know, we don't
hey,
know.
Christine. Hey, Christine, we're almost out of time. We're on with a national sports columnist for USA Today, Christine Brennan. Everyone's asking me about Tiger's golf future, and my answer is, you know, I hope he can walk again four rounds. Forget the golf.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to ask about the golf right now. If he can walk, if he can kick a soccer ball with his daughter and watch his son play golf and walk around the course, that probably will be the achievement. We'll hear a lot about Ben Hogan and his comeback from injuries back in 1949. Yeah, right. But Tiger's right. 9 years older than Hogan, so it's going to be tough. But hopefully he'll be okay.
All right, Christine Brennan, award-winning national sports columnist for USA Today. Come back as this story unfolds, will you, Christine?
Thanks, Christine.
I would enjoy that. Len, Michael, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thanks,
Christine. Take care, Christine. Up next, you're not going to believe this story. A couple is testing their bond by, well, doing something that only happens to a prison chain gang. That's coming up next, plus our morning show recap.
Yeah, this is something you should try with your fiance. Hey, heart health.
Ball and chain.
Heart health, immune system strengthening, and more energy. Just some of the positive side effects from Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. I've been taking them for months now. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies has given my immune system the boost it needs to help me stay healthy. I feel terrific, and I recommend them to anyone. Well, right now, Balance of Nature is giving you their best offer of 35% off your first preferred order, plus free shipping with promo code WOR. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies are real 31 different whole ripened fruits and veggies. They're ground into capsules and provide you with over 10 servings of fruits and veggies. Give them a call or go to balanceofnature.com. Tell them that Len Berman sent you. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. They'll even take an additional 35% off your first order with promo code WOR. Start the year off right. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code WOR. Get an additional 35% off your first preferred order. Plus, they'll ship it to you for free. Absolutely. With promo code WOR.
R.
Well, we're winding things down on a Wednesday. Had quite a lively show today. Coming up at the top of the hour is Mark Simone, a couple of his guests, Roger Friedman from Showbiz 411. He knows everything going on in the showbiz world. And Ann Coulter, best-selling author, will be on as well. And your next chance to win $1,000 coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. So, Michael, what's your chain gang story?
This is an odd one. So there's this couple in the Ukraine, which is an odd place to begin with. Anyway, Alexander and Victoria of Ukraine, they've decided to test the bonds, if you will, of their relationship.
Yeah.
So since Valentine's Day, they have handcuffed themselves together. They've actually chained themselves together, and they're going to do this for 3 months to test the strength of their love. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've used handcuffs before, and you have to have a safe word just to get out of them at a certain point there. So do you think
Natalie is... no one's buying any of this. Natalie is indicating by her cowering in horror that this isn't true, but if it is true, it's too much information.
That's true.
Way too much information.
So Alexander and Victoria of Ukraine, they've decided to chain themselves together for the next 3 months. And, well, I guess that will be the key to their love.
The key to their relationship. Have you considered doing something similar with Christina to test the bonds of your relationship? No?
Well, there's already a chain, but a ball's attached to the end of it.
Yeah,
that's the problem with marriage. Right, Joe? You know that.
No, I don't know that. And we've been married 50 years over here. Hey, if you missed any of our show, check out the podcast at 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We had some great guests on, including Ron Kim. Now, remember, he's the one that Andrew Cuomo allegedly called up and said, I will ruin you. Well, you can only imagine why Kim wants to impeach Andrew Cuomo.
I called for impeachment, not because this is something personal or trying to make this about me and him, but it's really to protect the sanctity and the integrity of the Senate and Assembly. If you hear carefully, even today, whenever he's cornered, what he does is he tries to implicate everyone else.
Ron Kim, the Queens Assemblyman and a Democrat, to mention that. We had Andrew Yang on. He's the front runner in the race for mayor. And Michael, of course, immediately pointed out that he also ran for president unsuccessfully.
And I will have you know, I made it a hell of a lot further than our current mayor.
Well, there you go. Well, see, this guy's good. You got to like this guy.
We love Andrew.
There you go. That's a good answer from Andrew Yang. We had George Latimer on, the Westchester County Executive, and we asked him if he ever got the Andrew Cuomo treatment.
I'm sure you've had a few calls with the governor over the years. Have you ever had the Ron Kim treatment with the governor?
No, Michael, I don't recall.
Oh, that's a dodge. Oh, I don't know. If I ever heard a dodge, that was it. I can't recall. I don't know. We had Dr. Gregory Poland on from the Mayo Clinic answering your vaccine questions. Good question he got. Can you spread COVID even after you've been vaccinated?
Even if you've been vaccinated, you may not develop moderate or severe disease. You could still develop mild or asymptomatic infection and spread that to someone else. So if we're going to defeat this, if we're going to prevent more of these variants from spreading and new variants from arising, we need very high uptake of the vaccine and mask wearing and distancing until we reach that point.
So he said he's been vaccinated twice, but he feels guilty because his wife hasn't. And I said, nah, I don't feel guilty. You know, just be glad you. He always takes my advice on these things. I said, no, I'd be happy you got vaccinated. Oh, so speaking of the Godfather earlier, and Michael, of course, always wants to play that theme when we talk about Andrew Cuomo. So I guess we had a little discussion about who really calls for that theme all the time around. We do get occasional emails from people who don't like the idea that you're bringing up an Italian theme and a Godfather theme
when it comes to. Who's the one who plays the Godfather theme? And you're blaming it on me. Who played?
Well, who's the one who just requested it during the commercial? And Natalie said, "Oh, we already got it ready. We already got it ready. It's all set. It's all set up. Here you go."
In my
who asked for it before 6 a.m.? Len Berman.
That would be me. That would be me. That would be I. That would be me. All right. So we're all guilty there, Riedel.
We're on the same page.
All right. Coming up tomorrow, we have a raft of guests for your listening pleasure. We have Stephen Fulop. He's the terrific mayor of Jersey City. He'll be with us at 7:05. We're going to check in with Major Kevin Stoops, the Salvation Army, Greater New York Division, see how they made it through the holidays at 7:20. Former Governor David Patterson, he'll have some thoughts about Cuomo. That'll be at 7:35. We have Sean Spicer, the president's first press secretary. He's going to join us at 8:05. Larry Hackett, the ABC entertainment contributor, at 8:35. Dr. Arthur Kaplan from NYU University at 9:05. Big show tomorrow. Thanks for listening. It's 10 o'clock.